Hey, real quick, before we start the show, if you have not had your COVID booster recently, please consider doing that. There's a new variant going around, and it's back again. The New York Times has an article about this. If you have any cardiopulmonary issues, like I have asthma and there's heart disease in my family, you can get Paxlovid, which greatly reduces the chance of death, basically. You can find that. Maybe I can link to the article. Anyway, get your booster. Let's all be healthy. All right? Thank you. Hey, how you doing? Thanks for downloading the show. This is Eric. I'm your host. I also host a YouTube channel also called Garden Fork. It's all about eclectic DIY. Today, we have Laura from the Unprofessional YouTube channel, which is my new favorite show, by the way, and Nicole. And Nicole, you invited Laura on, so welcome to both of you.
Yeah, I'm so excited that Laura was able to come. I was at a coffee shop with a good friend, and she was like, oh, you need to know Laura. Laura, you need to know Nicole. Like, get together. And so, of course, I checked out her YouTube and followed her. I'm more of an Instagram kind of girl. I mean, I watch Garden Fork, but really, I'm really just railing against my children watching YouTube, so I can't really start watching it myself.
Well, I'm so glad to have met Nicole and Eric. I'm now a follower of Garden Fork in all forms.
Yikes!
But it's just a really fun show, and I your YouTube channel is like right up my alley. So I've been binging it recently.
Oh, great! So you're gonna make a pizza oven, right?
I'm gonna make a pizza oven and a rusty outdoor stove. I'm going to hang all sorts of things on cinder blocks. I mean, I've got a lot. My list is long now.
I'm actually going to drill into a rock wall this afternoon.
Oh, wow.
Safety goggles, right?
Right. Well, we have a brownstone in Brooklyn, and the foundation walls are stone. And I have to, the water meter is allegedly hung on the wall, but you'll see in the video, but it's falling apart. So I have to drill in to stone to put the new piece of wood on, and I thought, well, I'll make a video about it and kind of demystify how to drill into stone, you know?
So when you drill into stone, you don't have to look for that centerpiece like you do in a cinder block. Is that right?
Right. Yeah, it's all solid. You just have to wear a lot of, what's it called? You have to have a dust mask on, and I actually put a shop vac and I stick the nozzle right next to the drill bit because stone dust is like cement dust. You do not want to get that in your nose or your lungs.
Yeah. Do you use the same, the hammer drill?
Yeah. I know we're here to talk about you, Laura, but we're going to talk about my hammer drill. So I just think everyone's buying cordless tools, but a corded hammer drill, which is all of $75, is just a game changer. You know, if your corded drill dies, you can pull out your corded hammer drill. If you need to drill a big hole through a 4x4 post, not every cordless drill is going to do that. And if you need to do cement or stone or something, yeah, maybe you can drill it with a cordless drill, but the hammer drill, the corded one, has such torque. It just goes. And you won't use it every day, but you'll use it maybe once a month. And it's that, to me, it's worth $75.
Yeah, I'm convinced. I'm always running out of batteries. Always.
This is really about you, Laura. And I started to watch your show. And it, first of all, the name, it's called The Unprofessional. Mm-hmm. And instead of, because I'm always trying to explain to people what Garden Fork's about, you pick the title of a YouTube channel that actually explains it, you know, because like they're like, well, what does Garden Fork mean, you know? So I was like, it was instantly hooked. And I watched a bunch of the videos. The one that really stuck out was turning a fence into a bike shed, which is a very Garden Fork kind of thing. So the first question is, what prompted you to start a YouTube channel?
You know, I needed to learn more about creating instructional videos.
Oh.
I was managing an e-learning contract at the time, and I'm an educator by trade, so I felt pretty comfortable with all things around curriculum design and evaluation. But the team I was working with was doing a lot of instructional videos. I knew nothing about it, so I asked someone on the team, you know, how can I learn more about this? And their recommendation was to make some videos. So yeah. I bought the cheapest editing software I could find. And, you know, I started a YouTube channel because everyone else was at the time. And I needed an audience if I was going to make something, right? So that's kind of how it started. I wouldn't have considered myself handy at all at the time. But I needed something to make videos about. So that is the birth of The Unprofessional. And the name is really just so that no one's confused about my skill level.
But there's a relatability there. I think people are intimidated by people that know everything. And I think that people instantly connect with you. So, oh, here's a person with kids, has a nice house, but wants to upgrade different stuff and is not spending a lot of money doing it. And it works for me.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think there's something about seeing someone who, my shtick is kind of, this is the first time I'm doing this project. So it's a little different now. It's been about 5 or 6 years. So I do feel like my skill level has improved. I mean, when I started this, I was scared to put a hole in the wall with a drill, you know, and now I feel pretty comfortable, you know, setting fence posts or, you know, building a bike garage or whatnot. So, you know, it's been a process, but I still pretty much show things that I'm doing for the very first time. And for me, it's fun that way. I never get bored with the content because I'm learning. But yeah, I mean, I don't have fancy tools. I call it my workshop dungeon, which is a quarter basement in a very small house. And that's just kind of how I roll. That's my, I don't see myself upgrading, but I wouldn't be opposed to it if, you know, one of the big box stores wants to sponsor me. But, you know, it's where I'm at.
You never know with them. You know, I actually spent probably 6 years with a company called Troy Built, and they sent me an email see if I wanted to be part of their program, and I thought it was spam.
Yeah.
So I put it in my junk folder. And then like 2 weeks later, I got this email. It was like, what'd you think of our proposal? And I'm like, oh. And I thought blew it. I thought I completely blew it. And I was like, oh, if you're still doing that thing, yeah. And then boom, it's like a 6 year, you know, buddy movie.
Oh man, that would be amazing. I think, you know, have learned from, I think, your show and other shows that are similar is that power and consistent posting. And yeah. That is an area of weakness for me, for sure. Some years I think I put out like 3 videos. Others maybe I, you know, get to 10 or 12, but it's pretty inconsistent. So I think that's a place I could improve upon.
Go ahead, Nicole.
I was going to say that's one thing I wanted to talk about, because Eric's last video was kind of about his unfinished projects. And I wanted to know, do you have like unfinished edits or unfinished products too? Or like what's your workflow?
Yeah, I chuckled when I saw that video because, yes, when you talked about all of the footage that you kind of just have that you haven't done anything with. I mean, that's the, I've got, you know, at least probably 3 or 4 project folders on my desktop that I hope I finish. I feel like that's the nature of it. I also feel like I start a lot of things and I'm like, no, this isn't going to work. This isn't, you know, good content. And maybe I scrap it or maybe I come back to it later. I definitely have a lot of unfinished projects. I will say my house is about 1300 square feet, so it's very small. So I see those unfinished projects every single day, multiple times a day. And that is a motivator. I think you can't get away from the unfinished projects in my small house.
That's hilarious. I love it. You're like, it's still there.
It's still there.
It's still there.
No one did it during the night.
Like that that fable.
Right.
The little mice didn't come in and fix it.
No. Sometimes I think it's going to happen, though. Sometimes I do think I'm going to wake up and that quarter round will have just, you know, attached itself right there to the baseboards. But it just doesn't seem to happen that way.
Now, is your husband handy, too? Or, like, what's his level of handiness?
Yeah, you know, he's handy. And I don't want to say camera shy. We did try to film him one time. And for some reason, he looks like... You were talking about your sister's. I won't say the full phrase, but people who have kind of a less than friendly look permanently on their face. Something about when the camera turns on, all of a sudden my husband looks very stern, and he is not that. He's a very like kind and gentle person. He is handy. He doesn't make it into that many of my videos because he seems just a little bit...
Scary.
Scary, yeah, yeah. But we have like a very different skill set. He does a lot of the caulking. I am way too messy and impatient for that. He does a lot of the painting. He's much more precise. I'm kind of like, let's knock it down and build it back up again. And he's like, you know, maybe we should like measure before we do it. And I'm like,
Measuring. I have a friend who he works in construction and he is a savant with measuring. He can measure by looking at things exactly. He can measure he's a carpenter. And like that's a skill I would love to have because I'm totally with you. What do we need to measure? And Eric, I love the pizza video where you're like, it didn't quite fit. Gonna measure that again.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of my builds that I do, I don't have plans because if I don't have plans, I don't really have to measure. And then I just kind of go with it and I sort of hold the board up and, you know, I mark where the other boards are and call it a day.
Now, is that why the shed wasn't perfectly even on the roof or something? There was some weird thing.
So I knew the shed wasn't going to have, you know, like 90 degree corners because the way that the fence is built, it kind of angles right towards my property line. And I couldn't really get closer than it already was. So it was going to be a slight parallelogram. So I knew that from the beginning. I didn't build that fence. Actually, my parents built it, so I'll blame them. But, and the fence, the intention was not to build a shed off of it when they built it, so they wouldn't have known that. But yeah, I knew I could kind of adjust for it. But I like to explain those things in my videos because if you can make a structure with 90 degree corners, you definitely should. But if you aren't starting with that luxury, then there are workarounds.
No, I mean, you can't, like you said, once the, like, soffit, was it the soffit? I don't know. Once the lid was on the shed, you could not see it.
No.
Nobody's noticing it.
You really can't tell. I mean, I think a lot of what I do is smoke and mirrors, but I have enough, I think, time with a lot of my builds that I realize that they all are still standing and working very well. So I'm not concerned about, you know, the foundation, but it's amazing what you can do with a little bit of trim. You really can kind of, like, you know, make something that's just a little bit off, not look off.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of flipped houses in D.C. that are...
That's true. And that's a little... I think that crosses a few ethical lines. But no, I hear you. And my houses, prior to us moving in, had some of those. None of our walls are plumb. I mean, it is an old house, so I guess that's to be expected, but...
Try living in a 120-year-old house.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw you taking off some trim, speaking of trim, and putting in some spray foam. And that's actually really motivating. I need to do that in a lot of places. But I imagine with a 110-year-old house, there are a lot of places that could use spray foam.
Well, and I don't know, I think you're not in D.C., but D.C. has a program where you can get free weatherizing supplies.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. So they might in your locality have that too.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm just outside of the D.C. area, but I'll have to look into that.
What I particularly liked about, we're talking about this fence in the video, is you wanted to build a shed for your kids' bikes. And I was like, oh, that's going to be a freestanding shed and it has to do this. And you already had a fence that had 2 or 3 4x4s firmly in the ground. And you're like, okay, that'll be the back wall. And I was like, oh, that's freaking brilliant. You don't have to build the back wall and you can just tie off of that to build the rest of the thing. And I really liked the metal roof. And I had never heard about using that sealant tape on the sides of it. And I was like, oh, something I didn't know.
Yeah, I feel like I kind of had to get creative with a few things on that because I didn't want to lose the arbor on the fence. But I also, you know, knew it was going to be tricky to have a post coming straight out of the roof.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just bought a pipe boot, which is for a square, but or it was actually for us. It's for a round pipe.
Yes, I saw
that. And this was a square post. But I kind of just cut into it and I used everything that you could use to seal it up. And we've had quite a few rains and there's no leaks. I mean, the back of the fence it's not watertight and it was never meant to be, but yeah. It's surprising that it really doesn't get any water, even with the slats in the fence. And I think that's because it's got some overhang on the roof. So that helps.
No, it all works. It all works. And so there's another video where you built this enclosure out of OSB for some kind of game, and I didn't understand it at all.
Yeah, it's so Gaga Ball. Nicole, are you familiar with Gaga Ball?
No, I've never heard of Gaga Ball. Is it like pickleball?
No. Well, I mean, I guess so. It's the pickleball of maybe 8-year-olds. It's been around. My understanding is it's been around for a while. But it's been sort of co-opted by the playground crew these days. And most schools these days, you'll see these makeshift Gaga Ball courts. And it's kind of like, you know, it's like a Foursquare from when we were kids, or maybe like Wall Ball, or, you know, those kind of games that they have some kind of defined line and some odd set of rules that kids make up and modify as they see fit. But yeah, so my older son is really into this Gaga Ball game, and we had his 9th birthday at a park, and so I just decided to buy, you know, some big pieces of plywood and make some kind of connecting cuts in each board, and it made a Gaga Ball pit. It was really fun, and we have it now. If anybody needs a Gaga Ball pit, if any of your listeners need a Gaga Ball pit and want to drop by and pick it up, I have one now that needs a home. But yeah, no, it was a better solution than buying one for like $300 off of Amazon.
Oh, wow.
And I figure I can, you know, worst case scenario, if nobody wants the Gaga Ball pit, I can reuse the plywood for something else.
Well, yeah, I mean, now I'm Googling it and looking at the pictures of it on my phone, and that's cool.
It's brilliant and simple. It's basically OSB plywood, which is oriented strand board plywood, which is one of the more inexpensive ones. And then you routered slots in each end, and so that you're essentially making a square, or what's the thing with five sides, a hexagon or something?
Pentagon?
And the kids, pentagon. And the kids can kick the ball around inside that. And then to break it down, you just lift the plywood pieces out of the slots and you used a router to put the slots in.
Yeah.
And boom, done.
Yeah.
And I'm like, because it's foldable, it's like flat pack IKEA technology. Yep. You could just put it away.
Yeah, I think the only thing with OSB is there's the, you know, the sliver risk.
Yeah.
But what I did was I just took Gorilla tape and I just put strips of Gorilla tape at the very top of each piece. So when the kids climb in and out, you know, they don't get all splintery. That worked.
Oh, wow. That's a brilliant idea.
Yeah, that Gorilla tape, you can use it for anything, you know, and it's, it just doesn't come off. It's great.
Can I ask you a question here? Would you like to sign up for my free email newsletter? Yes, you would. It's easy to do. There should be a link in the show notes here. If your podcast app allows a clickable link, the first few lines of text in the description will be a link to sign up for the email list. You will like it, I think. If you don't like it, you can unsubscribe. There's a big unsubscribe thing right at the beginning and get-go, and my feelings will not be hurt. But if you don't already on the list, would you consider doing that? The link will be in the show notes. Or if you go to any page on the GardenFork.tv website, or if you just go to GardenFork.tv, at the top should be a button or clicking or something that says email sign up. All right? Thank you for thinking about that.
What kind of, is there anything on the plate now that you're thinking about for your house or your yard?
Oh, yeah. I mean, aside from all the five unfinished projects I have going on, my thing, and I don't know that I want to commit to it, but I'm just going to say it, which I think is committing me to it. I'm going to build a secret room behind my kids' bedroom, and they don't know I'm doing this.
Oh, neat.
My son just asked for that.
Oh, really?
Yes. He was like, I just wish our house had like a secret room. And I was like, you kind of do underneath the stairs. He's like, everybody can see that, Mom. It's not secret.
It's not secret. I mean, I feel like it's every kid's dream. It was definitely my dream.
Yeah.
It's like a knee wall. So it's a small area. But I went back there. I kind of fixed up the subflooring and I put in some electrical. So it's prepped. I haven't started it. I haven't really started it.
That sounds like you started it. No, you've started it.
I know. I did. I started it. Well, my kids are so funny. My kids are like my biggest fans. It's the greatest thing. I have two boys. They're 9 and 4. And they're like my little shop buddies. They just, they love the stuff. But they tell all their little friends, oh, my mom can build anything. And so I feel like I have to live up to that. So I'm like, I'm going to build them a secret room. I'm really going to like up this reputation that I have for being able to build anything. So, but I'm not telling them about it because as long as they don't know, I'm not fully committed to it.
Okay. All right. Well, I think it's going to be awesome.
You've committed to it here on the podcast.
Yes. I know.
So about 1,500 people are going to follow up on this.
And they're going to see. I've got some big plans to make, and it's going to be tricky to do it without them knowing, but to make kind of like a recessed bookshelf that just happens to open on, these kind of invisible hinges. But I'm going to have to... I think I'm going to have to like close it with a screw so they don't know that it can open.
Wow. Bob from the YouTube channel I Like to Make Stuff made a secret room kind of like in the TV movie style where it's a bookcase and you touch one of the books, I think,
yeah.
And then it opens up. So I don't know if you can get some inspiration from that.
Oh, that sounds so cool. Yeah, I'll look that up.
Yeah, secret room. My boiler room could become a secret room, I guess. It's the warmest room in the house.
I mean, I feel like we need more secret rooms in this world. I mean, maybe there are a lot of them, but they're secret, so we don't know about them. But
well, up by where you live, there is a unfortunately a secret room that just closed. But the Yes Organic or Mom's Organic, Yes Organic had a pinball machine speakeasy.
Really?
So you would walk through the Yes Organic, and apparently if you knew about this special door, you could go in, and there was a giant pinball machine, and it was only a quarter to play, which I guess is really cheap. I have no idea. But the owner of this chain of grocery stores loves pinball.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but I think
why is it closing?
They made it into like a children's pediatric office or something. I don't rent.
Oh, man.
I know, right? I think he was looking for another secret place. Ha, ha, ha. But like, there's a chicken and waffles place in DC and apparently there's on 14th Street. And apparently there's a speakeasy in the back. Like if you know where to knock, you can go in.
How do you know about these? Is there a secret website where you can find out where all the
I mean, I follow, like there's a website or there's a daily email that's called 730 DC.
Okay.
And it's, if they ever listen to this, it's run by a bunch of kids. Because I'm old now, but they are clearly have their pulse on like the younger set, and I do learn a lot of things from them.
7:30. Okay, I'm gonna
It's quite good. It's like local, hyper-local reporting. But they're great. And
I'll tell them about my secret room and I'll make the list.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, there used to be a speakeasy on Capitol Hill, too, that I had when I had my book launch party, which was 5 years ago. Then we went to the speakeasy afterwards to have drinks. Oh, and it was upstairs on top of this Italian restaurant. And again, you had to like knock and like, you know the code
was there
of the day.
Like a secret word?
Yeah, there was like a secret word every day. So you had, you know, you'd make a reservation because it was small, and then they tell you the special code. It was really fun.
See, I'm just not cool enough. I need to find you in coffee shops more often, and you need to tell me the codes, and we need to go do a tour of the
Yes, my kids would definitely tell you that I'm the coolest person they know, I'm sure.
Hey, you know, kids are honest.
They're rough, man. They're rough.
I've spoken about this secret room before on the show, but in Grand Central Station, the person that managed the Grand Central Station had his own apartment. I believe it was on the third floor, and the Grand Central, the company that controls it. I mean, it's a public government thing. They turned his apartment into a bar, but didn't tell anyone. And so if you knew about it, you could take it. You know, my friends would come visit, like, oh, let's go have a drink. And you go in this rickety elevator to the third floor and you'd walk in. And it was like a cocktail bar from the 1950s.
Oh, that's the best.
And it's
that's
called
exactly
the Campbell
where
apartment.
I want to have my cocktails.
It's great. Now the world knows about it. So there are some tourists up there, unfortunately. But it's still a kind of a nice, quiet place to go. And you're like, oh, Grand Central Station and that cacophony of people is, you know, not too far away, and then you're in this quiet little place. I mean, the drinks are not cheap, but it is kind of a fun place to go and just kind of escape if you're touring Midtown, you know?
Yeah, I've got to take Otis there. My son, he would obviously like, he loves New York. He knows the whole geography from playing Lego Batman.
We could go. I'm here.
All right, we're coming. Be careful.
Yes. Nicole, that's okay. You'll just schedule my day, which is perfect.
Eric, we'll be meeting you at.
Wow. All right. Well, before we go, Laura, is there any hints that you can give people that are thinking about picking up a cordless drill?
Any hints? You know.
Any aha moments you've had?
Yeah, you know, I think for me, and like I said, you know, 12 years ago, I was too scared to really even hang a picture frame. But I think the thing about building or DIY is that things are pretty forgiving. You can't really, unless you actually burn your house down, you're probably not going to burn your house down. And I mean, I definitely say that with some caution. There's some things that I think people probably shouldn't do. But, you know, if you put a hole in your wall, and it's not in the right spot, you can always patch it. And if you set a fence post in the ground and it's a little bit crooked, you can dig it out. It's not the funnest thing in the world, but go for it. There's really not that much you can do if it's not structural or electrical or plumbing that's gonna do too much damage. So I say go for it. I think, you know, I kind of have a strange mix of resourcefulness and delusion, I think, that I just is naturally within me. But I think that if people out there have a project idea, you know, just give it a go.
Oh, sweet. So the YouTube channel is called The Unprofessional. Are you on some of the other social media sites?
I am on Instagram, The Unpro on Instagram. And yes, The Unprofessional on YouTube. I do have a blog. I'm terrible about keeping it up to date, but the blog is theunprofessional.com. So you can find me there as well.
Well, cool. We'll have to have you back on in a couple of months. We could talk about what projects you've finished and what projects I have not finished.
So. Or what projects we all have not finished.
Yeah.
Well, Eric, it was a pleasure. Thank you so much for chatting with me today. And I'm going to go hang some things on some cinder blocks this afternoon.
Yay. Well, we got to thank Nicole for making this happen, because I was literally just feeling sorry for myself, and she texted me. She goes, "We're going to do a show tomorrow." And I was like, "Okay."
Well, Nicole, I hope that we bump into each other soon at a coffee shop, and then we can take the parade to a speakeasy somewhere. And
that sounds great.
Have a great afternoon.
Well, cool. So Laura and Nicole are going to stick around. We're going to do the after show for the patrons of the show. If you're interested in supporting Garden Fork, I ask for a cup of coffee a month. You get behind-the-scenes photos, now videos as well, just Eric's random links to cool stuff, and the secret things we talk about in the after show. And the secret topic this week is going to be the upcoming maple syrup season, which I'm already starting to work on. So thanks, everyone, for listening. Check out The Unprofessional, and we'll see you. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.